All right, welcome into the zone on this Friday. It's been a good week, I think. Justin Akre joined in studio today on what is a gray Friday.
Sorry, maybe make some, is this good radio?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Is this thing on?
This is not the show.
Is this thing on? Why don't you eat something on the air while you're at it? Bill Vickery joining me.
Live from a wind tunnel.
Normally much more efficient and...
I apologize that. That's on me. You know what I was? I thought that was a ground rule double.
My bad.
I thought after seeing it on videotape, I still rule it a ground rule double.
Did you see the mistake last night?
Yeah, didn't know the rules.
That's a mistake that you can't make. I mean, that's one that it goes all the way to Little League. I mean, that's insane. If you missed it.
How does a pitcher not pitch to a bat at all?
Yeah.
What I like was somebody, I read something this morning where they interviewed the official scorekeeper. He goes, guy never threw a pitch. He didn't appear in the game. So, technically, the guy brought in the pitch.
So, if a guy takes the mound and doesn't throw a pitch, did it ever really happen at all?
Tree falls in the woods.
That's it.
There you go. That's bizarre.
In the zone today, I'm going to close this door. Bill's going to play with his microphone. Lots of fun stuff coming up.
The lateral speed on Big Baby right there.
He's a backpedaling son of a gun, this one.
He's at the low block dealing.
He's been he's about three pots of coffee in. He's been up since 2.
Yeah.
In here to carry the show of many names. We appreciate him.
He is whacked out right now.
Talk baseball this weekend. Arkansas's final homestand of the 2013 season is this weekend, at least for the regular season. We'll look at the SEC pitching matchups for the weekend to come. Nick Saban responds to Bob Stoops. And Brett Bielema was in town this week.
Yeah.
And I know that I want to start there because you had a little time I just want to get your impressions of the man, Bill.
Well,
because
it was great. He came and spoke to the annual convention of the Arkansas Trucking Association. Got about 300 people.
Did he get a lot of this?
None of that. Not so many truck drivers as much as, you know, executives and people.
But
I got to tell you, man, hats off to Ralph Bradbury, who picked him up at the airport and brought him in. And then we had an opportunity, he and I and Ralph, to basically hang out for about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half. Had a little lunch, just the three of us. What is impressive about him is, one, he does have a very developed sense of organization. He has his things to do list. It rolls over every day. That you get the sense he is goal oriented, focused, a Petrino-esque, Saban-esque, in that, you know, here's my things to do list. This is what we're going to get done today. We're going to move quickly and swiftly, you know, all that. But he's a very earnest, funny guy. Nice, charming, polite. Told some great stories about growing up on a hog farm.
Can you give me an anecdote or two?
What was funny was he talked about the fact that growing up on a hog farm, yet again, I can't emphasize why that's not being played up in the media more. Oh, wait, well, you are the media. Talked about
just
the fact
now
that from,
catching
the,
onto it.
From the fourth grade, he didn't have to work on the farm after school. But then in the fifth grade, there he was. After school, he's got a whole laundry list of chores to do. And he thought, what happens between the fourth and the fifth grade that provided me the maturity then to start working? I don't know. But, obviously a very much a family-oriented guy. He's married to a very beautiful woman. And I asked if she had any sisters. Of course, no.
And if she did?
And then he did give me at the end, he goes, yeah, I got to tell you, I probably wouldn't introduce you to any of them either.
Yeah.
So, he spoke for about 30 minutes to the group, and then... he and I had a chance on stage to do some Q&A back and forth, and he was fantastic.
I think, and of course, this would give the people that were there a huge advantage, but I was thinking maybe we could play it. You could talk about some of the word association you played and some of the answers you got. I especially liked the one you got when you asked him Brett Bielema.
Right. Well, we finished our little Q&A on stage. I gave him five. We did a little word association, five things, and I completely forgot now what he answered when I asked for Southeastern Conference. I think he just said top rated, something like that. And I asked offense, and he replied balanced. Defense, he replied aggressive. Razorbacks, he replied passionate. And I ended it by saying Brett Bielema, and he just smiled and said undefeated.
And that went over well.
But not in a cocky way. I think, and that's just it. You get a sense of, you know how you can be around people that you know are con artists. And then you can be around people that just are not people.
Do you want to name names?
Exactly.
Yeah, come on.
Then you can be around people who are not people oriented. You know, they just want to be left alone. They've got their 3x5 card and they want to be left alone. He strikes what I feel like is a real balance, a happy medium, but between all of that, and he's a very earnest guy, very honest, earnest guy.
You really like this earnest thing. You're on to this
today.
Well,
it's because he is. He's Abe Lincoln. I mean, he's very focused. And
I haven't seen that yet, by the way.
The Spielberg movie?
Yeah.
That's great.
I know, I'm a little slow.
It's great.
Finally saw Silver Linings Playbook last night.
Funny movie.
Very good movie.
That's why I'm in love with Jennifer Lawrence.
It was nothing like I expected. I was totally off base as to it was sold to me in a completely different way.
And you know, yeah, because it is a little dark.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
a little dark.
It's still a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a chick flick element to it, but yeah, it was really entertaining. I'm a little disappointed I was so slow to the party, but it was very good.
Jennifer Lawrence is fantastic in that movie. But the only thing that I found about Silver Linings Playbook that was wrong, there are no Eagle fans that are that passionate. They're usually pretty bitter to begin with. Most Philadelphia sports fans
are
bitter.
I think they're probably passionate. They're not that optimistic.
They're not that, right, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's so I didn't think, I thought De Niro didn't capture the evil, mean-spiritedness of the Philly sports fan.
You know what, though? The one thing I liked about him in that, and of course he went totally off the reservation with the Fockers deal, but I thought he played less De Niro than he's done in a while. Right. I thought he was really good. I thought he stepped outside his De Niro comfort zone. The De Niro comfort zone is a good place to be, but still.
He was in a movie with Robin Williams. I think it's called Awakenings or whatever.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yep.
He was unbelievable in that movie.
Yeah.
To your point, he wasn't De Niro. He wasn't making fun of De Niro. He was just, he was anti-De Niro.
Yeah.
He was Iron Man.
That was a good movie. He was a shell of a, he was sort of a shell. I mean, Robin Williams was a doctor in that.
Doctor, yeah. They were fantastic. Great movie.
That was a good movie. Okay, so a guy who might need a doctor actually did need a doctor literally this week. Bob Stoops actually had a non-cancerous growth on his face taken off, and I wish that ESPN, when they were playing his comments, finally got a hold of the video from him talking to, I think it was the Tulsa World. They finally got a hold of the video, and you see this big thing, and I'm thinking, man, did he get hit with a nine iron? What happened?
Yeah.
So I went online and said, Bob Stoops' face messed up. I just Google searched. Everything's a Google search away.
Right.
It turns out he had a growth taken off. Apparently, the growth on his brain that makes him think the SEC is not far and away the best conference in America has not been removed yet. He did correctly point out that his conference sent a lot of teams to bowl games. He incorrectly said eight. There were actually nine teams from the Big 12 that were sent.
If you're 6-6, you got a bowl title.
But again, it's so confusing because, it's a Big 12. There's only 10 teams. They sent 9 teams out of 10 to the postseason, and half of them had losing conference records. The most important thing is the grand poobah, not Mike Slive, but Bob's
the person
Nick
really
Saban.
In charge of the SEC.
Nick Saban did speak out finally about Bob Stoops talking about how everybody's buying into this whole SEC propaganda. You guys are buying into the propaganda. And Saban, this is a quote from a reporter. He says, Saban on Stoops quotes, I've got more important things to do than sit around and read what Bob Stoops has to say about anything. That's exactly right. Dan Wolkin, a reporter, I believe for CBS, says, or maybe he's USA Today, he goes, good to know Nick Saban basically has the same amount of patience for dumb media questions as dumb coach statements.
Yeah.
Shot across the bow, but it is it was so out of left field, as I pointed out yesterday, and I know you'll agree, the only two conferences better than the SEC or even in the conversation are the NFC and the AFC.
Right. That's exactly it. That's a great point, and it's not for all those Oklahoma football fans out there.
I'm a Big 12 guy.
I love the Sooners, a good football program.
For approximately 20 minutes upon moving to Arkansas, I battled for the Big 12. I argued for the Big 12.
Nah.
And about 25 minutes into it, I'm like, I'm not even believing this anymore.
Now, you've got it is what has happened to the Big 12 is what ultimately happened to the Southwest Conference, in that because Texas became so dominant, Oklahoma, remember, they start to make move, well, maybe one of them, then they launch their own television network that is to some degree in competition with the conference interests as a whole, and then Texas begins to underperform on a national stage, and suddenly you realize, wow, we got a little bit of trouble here. You know, because of bowl tie-ins, you're always going to send, I promise you, if the SEC had 11 teams that had 6-6 records or better, all 11 are going to find a bowl home somewhere. Mm-hmm. No one's going to be left out of that. So it's not a matter of going to bowls. Stoops is off base I think there is a level of exasperation now. And now that we're moving to this playoff format, sorry.
We almost made it through the whole segment.
It's over because you can see the Southeastern Conference is, one, the SEC championship game could be a play-in game for one of those teams and probably maybe the loser goes.
Here's the thing about Texas.
Their two slots are ours.
Texas has a lot to be happy about. They're the big dog in a lesser dog conference. They were just named again number one in revenue in the United States for the NCAA. So, I mean, they're making a pile of money. If you have an athletic director and the president of Texas today, how do you feel about your program, knowing that you're somewhat competitive in everything?
Yeah.
I mean, you're okay in baseball, and you're okay in football, and you're okay in basketball, and your women's sports are fine. You're okay at everything. Yeah. And you're making a pile of money.
Yes.
Do you feel successful today?
I don't think they measure success based on all sports. I think they measure it on football, to some degree baseball, men's basketball, and then two or three women's sports as we get further down the line. So football is 75% of the – that's 75% of the bargain at least.
Athletics is supposed to be about winning, but it's also about making money in today's environment, and they're doing a great job at that.
They are, although I got to tell you, the Texas television thing has been an utter disaster for them. They haven't found a way to really – hit a groove with it. The Big Ten launched, and they became a model, and they were great. But then you realize that when you see the SEC deal up next to the Big Ten deal, you realize, wow, this is the difference between having a show on USA Network versus NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, with anticipation that they would have a broader national footprint, has kind of fallen flat. It's become a pure Texas thing, and it really hadn't caught on with their alumni. So... That's a tough one for them. That could eat up a lot of that revenue.
I'd rather they make a lot of money and not win as much.
I want Texas to be good. I think it's – I like – I do.
Are you confusing them for Notre Dame?
No, I like Notre Dame to be good. I like the traditional powers.
We'd all like for the Cowboys to be good, too. When's that going to happen again?
Yeah, don't get me started.
By the way, later in the show, I have the over-under from Vegas on how many wins per team. Not a very optimistic number for your Dallas Cowboys. Speaking of Brett Bielema, he will be in town again. He is he has been on, I don't know what kind of frequent flyer program he's on. I want to get on it, though. Although I guess he travels probably on the university jet. I definitely want to get on that program.
Well, you know, he made a great point. If you think about this, you start talking about facilities and things like that. And this is the known, I mean, look, this is talked about quite often. LSU has a fleet of six airplanes, not loaned to whomever.
They own six.
So when their coaches leave, they all leave on a private plane to go to Timbuktu to watch an offensive lineman. Although you could argue all they'd have to do is get in a hybrid car and drive 100 miles to St. John's Parish to watch some big offensive lineman fall on a few people, and boom, he's headed to LSU.
Is Timbuktu eastern or western Louisiana?
Right, well, that's all up there by Swahili Parish. Oh, yeah. We going Alligator Parish.
You know, today is National Shrimp Day. Speaking of, true story, I didn't make that up.
I got you now. I got you now. Want to drop some playoffs?
Are you gonna do Vibe Boucher the rest of the show? I love it. It is Mother's Day. One of the great movie mothers of all time, Vibe Boucher's mama. The great Kathy that foosball was a devil. Anyway, Brett Bielema is going to be here for the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame event. And it's a 2-day deal. Sunday, it's Talking Football.
Ooh.
I don't know how many people got together to come up with a name for it, but it's Talking Football Dinner at Chenal Country Club's St. Andrew's Ballroom in Little Rock. Dinner's at 6 o'clock. Then the golf tournament, of course, the next day. I'm doing my show live there. Chris Sugarcane, KATV, will be joining me.
Okay.
Tables of 10 for the Hall of Fame. This is actually very affordable.
$2,000
for a table of 10 or $200 a head. If you want to purchase tickets, you can call the Hall of Fame, 501-663-4328. And Coach and some of his assistants will be playing in the tournament on Monday, and I don't know how many of those guys play. I am looking forward to meeting Coach Partridge. I hope that he's coming because I have been. It has been pointed out to me that we have somewhat of a similar appearance.
Well, I've always.
I think he's a very handsome man.
I'd like to talk to him about Reuben and the rest of the family. What's the situation there with Coach Partridge?
Partridge
Susan,
family?
Susan Day.
Yeah. That was one of the shows I didn't get on. I was on many of the family shows.
Right.
Eight is Enough I saw quite often.
Wow.
I'm big on Partridge
the Van
family.
The Van Patten troop.
Yes.
They really.
Is Dick Van Patten still alive?
Dick Van Patten's still kicking it, babe. He's still out there swinging. He's probably just now leaving Pure, you know? TMZ's
think
got
so.
Him.
Right. He's out. He's hanging out with a bunch of 20-year-old starlet wannabes.
That's Dick Van
Does he
Patten.
Still have swing, you think?
That's right, exactly. Oh, my.
I get you your own show.
Dick Van Patten. He's got all those kids. Eight was enough.
Whatever happened to the kid?
The little bitty one?
The little one. What's his name? Nicholas.
Nicholas, yeah. You got to think. Floppy hair.
Is he alive? Big baby.
Look that up.
Dick Van Patten sells dog food now. Thank you very much. I want you to find out what happened to Nicholas. Speaking of taking a look back in the Wayback Machine, five virtual one-hit Hollywood chicks who were in movies, and I've seen all of them. They're not necessarily great movies, but women who were in these movies, attractive ladies, never to be heard from again. Now, one of them married a very, very important person in Hollywood, so she never had to work
right,
again.
Right, it's over.
Not the same thing.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Gold digger.
I ain't saying that. No. I ain't saying that.
Right.
But she ain't messing with no broke.
Any of these chicks gettable? Like, if you saw them at the Flying Saucer.
Like, could you?
Could you just sidle up and go like, hey, what's your name?
Let me look here. There's one.
Without revealing.
One like, definitely.
If you thought these chicks were gettable today.
I think there's probably three there.
Well,
I think
they got to be in their 60s, right?
I'll 70s? I'll give you a shot of 3 out of 5 you'd have a chance at if you were so inclined.
Okay.
You're talking about Willie Ames?
No, I was talking about Adam Rich.
Oh, he turned into a very bitter, overweight person, didn't he?
Willie Ames?
Ames. Look, wasn't he on Celebrity
Fitness? He was Scott Baio's sidekick.
Yep.
I mean, that's about the end of your career. Although Baio has a new kid show on one of the, like, Nick or something
Charles
my kids watch.
Charles in Charge, baby.
Actually, Scott Baio is one of the more likable dudes that never really had any great success.
Well, yeah.
You look a little bit
he
like
He was too good looking.
You look like a little bit
no
like Scott
way
Baio.
I look like Scott Baio.
A little bit.
I did have some hair in the 7th and 8th grade. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I had the Scott Baio feathered hair.
Yeah.
The chachi hair.
I could see it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a Joni?
Did
you have a gaggle of Jonies?
No.
What do you got for Adam Rich? What'd you find for me, big baby?
For you
he hasn't been in anything since an episode of 1993's Baywatch.
He was in Baywatch?
Yeah.
Did he drown? Was he a drowning victim?
He was just in one episode, Ethan, Sky Rider. Sounds like he was probably a victim.
Yeah, should be.
Seems like his career is a victim.
Well, what's hard to come when your typecast is Nicholas? And by the way, quick aside, what was Dick Van Patten's job on 8 is Enough?
No
what
clue.
Did he do? He was the editor of the Sacramento Bee.
Is that right?
Boom. Look it up.
He drove the dumbest looking car. He had the old Woody station wagon.
Right.
Oh, terrible.
You had to put Nicholas in the back. In an era of car seats, when you see them all piling in and Nicholas is in the floorboard.
Yeah, well, they were all smoking up front,
right,
too, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. Who wants some more red meat? I've had 3 martinis.
A lot of things have changed since then, Bill. Been a lot of changes in the law.
Yeah, those good old days.
Tiger Woods taking part in the PGA Championship. Not the PGA Championship. The Players.
The TPC, yeah.
Yes, Championship. I always confuse those two, although they're totally different.
The stadium course.
Would you be in favor of adding a fifth major, and if so, would it be this one?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
I'm not in favor.
This is a made-up major.
I'm not in favor of adding a fifth major, but if I were to add a fifth major, this would be it. And I have been told by people who have played this course that it would be a great place for such a tournament. Because the thing about it is you get great drama with 17, which shouldn't be a particularly hard hole, although like 15 people hit the ball in the water already there today. And then 18 is actually even more difficult a hole because there's so many ways to get yourself in trouble there.
I've been to Ponte Vedra a few times out there. You see the stadium course. You do all that. It's hard for me to want a major championship played at a course that has built-in stands, that is that kind of prefab. And I know, look, it's a spectacular course. All the technology from however many years ago that's gone into to update it and make it look good. It's a great golf tournament, but don't call it a major. Don't call it a comeback, in the words of LL Cool J. But don't call it a major. Look, what I like about it, Tiger takes Lindsey Vonn, and they're coming out of Avenue at 4 in the morning. He gets on a plane, goes down, swings the sticks. He's back in the groove, baby. This is the Tiger. This is how he used to play
he's
all
popping,
the time.
He's, hey,
right?
He's everywhere.
Exactly.
He's swinging, baby.
He's Jager bombs,
he's
and then he's out the door.
You know what the problem is? He's been focused on the wrong swing all this time.
He's got the swing back.
Yeah, you're telling me.
I should be Tiger's
swing
coach.
Stella is getting her groove back.
Oh, the man is on.
Okay.
He can go to New York. He can party at Avenue till 4 in the morning. Then he gets that hottie blonde with him. They get on a jet.
She's not hot, by the way.
Well, she's sports hot.
She's
sports hot.
I'm telling you take half her makeup off, she looks like us. She's not an attractive woman.
Kind of a Nixon shadow?
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for her platinum blonde hair, nobody'd look twice at her. She's not that attractive at all, even by sports standards.
I disagree.
I think
she's
there are 20.
For
I could find you 25 athletes better looking than her.
And plus, she rocks
and 10 of them are dudes.
She rocks a body.
She's a little thick, but I mean, she got the skier body.
Wow,
you got to be built,
man.
You got to be built for.
You've got some demons, my friend.
No, I'm just saying. I don't find
couch
her.
Time.
Look, she's famous because she's attractive by
She's
athlete
sports
standards,
hot.
But
yeah.
She's not. But she's that's a great phrase. But she's not particularly attractive, I don't think. As far as Tiger Woods goes, he's 2 under on his round today, 7 under for the tournament, which means he's 2 strokes back of the leader, who is now not only Roberto Castro, who had an opening round 63, mm-hmm. tying the low round ever there.
Who knew that Fidel Castro's grandson was such a good golfer?
And who knew that he emigrated to America?
Well, you know.
And Lee Westwood. How about that?
How about Lee Westwood? I thought he was dead. Is he? Is he still alive?
You know what he is? He's Texas. He's been on the board for a long time. He just can't
up there, right.
Yeah, he can't quite get that.
Best player to not win a major?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Sergio.
He's making a lot of money. He's always in the conversation, mm-hmm. but he's never really winning anything. Mm-hmm. That's Lee Westwood. He's Texas.
Yep.
He's Texas with bad teeth. Yeah. Okay, so here we go.
Okay, yes.
Saw a comparison today, mm-hmm. and you've probably already seen this.
Gotcha.
Tiger Woods is making his 300th start mm-hmm. this week at the PGA. At the TBC. Sorry.
Playoffs.
Three letters that have to do with golf.
At the PBJ. That's what I want a golf tournament. I want a golf tournament and call it the PBJ.
That's good. That's good.
We're back at the PBJ.
He's 37 years old making his 300th start. Jack was 35 when he made his 300th start, which is hard to believe because Tiger started when he was like 12.
Yeah.
He wasn't a pro until he was how old?
He was 21, 22.
Okay.
Yeah, he was 22. So 21 or 22.
So apparently Jack was...
I think he skipped his senior year at Stanford.
And I'm guessing Jack probably played, because Tiger has... Well, first of all, he's missed some because of injury.
Yeah.
Some of it is there have been years where he doesn't play a whole lot of tournaments on top of the majors.
Yeah.
Okay, so at this point in his career, 300 starts. He has won 2 more majors than Jack, which mm-hmm. that was the thing that got me.
Right.
I was surprised by that.
Right.
He has 23 more tour wins than Jack does mm-hmm. through 300 starts. Mm-hmm. And he has made... Now, this is no surprise. They actually adjusted Jack's money for inflation.
Yeah. An inflation-adjusted number.
Yes. His inflation-adjusted number is $10,098,887 and no cents.
Wow.
Tiger Woods, over $105
million. Yeah.
And that's not really adjusted for inflation. That's just what the number is. How about that?
Because
this is from USA Today.
Current era.
So basically what I see is he's way ahead of him in wins. He's ahead of him in majors. The question is, can he stay healthy and playing at a high level?
See, I've always believed that about Tiger. I mean, if you take the collapse of his marriage, all that aside, move it over to the side and don't look at it. In terms of, he's got a lot longer to play than Nicholas had to play and then compete. If you see what Freddie Couples is doing on the tour now.
Love Freddie.
At majors. Because now we're talking about Tiger's being judged on majors. I think he's got... Depending upon how the breaks happen, assuming no career-ending injury, he could play until he was 50 and be competitive in a major tournament because of technology and because of, you know, I mean, Nicholas came of age when he was smoking and, you know, drinking martinis and eating steaks at lunch.
Yeah, all the food groups.
Right. And then he would go play golf. He still won at 46.
So you mean he's like us.
Right.
Well, if he was good.
That's called the turn. We got 9 more to play, guys. Wake up.
We will keep you updated on the PB&J tournament as we go through the show today. I literally cannot say it. I cannot get myself to say TPC.
Oh, man, there we go. You made me spit coffee all over myself.
I guess the TPC is redundant?
I think it's, yeah, maybe.
Because that would be the Players' the, Championship.
That's like the L.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like if you stutter, it's a it's the TPC.
It could be the stuttering PC.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call it the PB&J.
Right.
Or the PBJ, if you prefer. PBJ. Mm-hmm. How about Lanier's Ford? Will not be undersold. Savings have never been quite like this. Interest as low as 0%. Striving to be your car or truck dealer forever. Get out there and see why so many people from across the state keep coming and buying cars and trucks from Lanier's Ford in Benton. It's where they treat you like family. Give them a call, 501-315-4700. Better yet, go see Kelly. Go see Mike. Tell them we sent you. And they'll be happy to see you. And you'll be happy you're there because you'll be getting the best deal there is. In fact, you know what? Go find out what everybody else has to offer. Bring them your best offer you can find, and they will beat it at Landers Ford in Benton on any new car in stock. Where they are big enough to serve and small enough to care, it is Landers Ford in Benton, Arkansas, online at Landers.com. Justin Akre, Bill Vickery in the Fury Electric Studio. Evan Demerle is going to come in a little bit. We're going to talk a little NBA. All 4 series tied at 1 apiece.
Yep.
Very intriguing postseason, than I expected. I was at the very beginning of this going, well, Miami's going to win. Who's playing for second? It's not even entertaining. It's not even going to be fun. And Oklahoma City's probably going to roll in the West. Surprise, surprise, a lot has changed since then. I have a little bit more information, which I'm sure you'll find especially intriguing, on that hose bag that flipped off Joakim Noah as he was walking off the court the other night, too. Big-time game ball to Joakim for keeping his cool.
I don't think he even noticed her, did he?
I don't know. They were asking for it pretty bad.
He's used to that. It's Joakim Noah. He's, you know.
Fair point.
It was Chris Paul running off or Steve Nash.
We'll be back to discuss in the Zone, Buzz Radio Network.
This is SportsCenter.
A wild weekend is ahead for the NBA playoffs.